Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
For many years now, NFL players have been sort of banging the table about something that a lot of them really believe in. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, put out an article detailing how the NFL may be considering making some major wholesale changes to their substance abuse policy. Per a league source, the National Football League is prepared to make major concessions regarding the substance abuse policy, especially as it relates to marijuana. Now, the exact details of the concessions are not known yet, okay? A complete abandonment and basically a legalization of marijuana is possible. But if the league goes in that direction, it would need to have a procedure in place for players who are charged criminally with marijuana-related offenses in the states where marijuana is banned. It's not legal everywhere like it is here in Colorado. Do you think that this is something that could realistically get done?
Yeah, I think the NFL has to change their views on marijuana and the penalties that they impose on the players. I think you have a situation like you do with alcohol. If you get a DUI, you know, you're going to get punished. So if you have an issue where you are driving under the influence, then you will get punished. But I think when it comes to recreational use or use on your own time, like you said, a lot of states, it is legal. And the penalties for marijuana use are so outdated. It's really ridiculous. It's almost laughable,
you know,
to look at it, at the rules that the NFL has in place when it comes to marijuana. And some of it's, you know, the player's fault. Look, you get tested one time. Just stay clean, then you can do whatever you want the rest of the year. And you know the parameters of when you might get tested. But saying that, look, these rules are outdated. They need to change. And hopefully they'll get something put into place where you don't see the penalties reflect an old school thinking about marijuana. Look, it's 2019, man. I mean, it's legal here. Things have changed. Get up with the times. And then you know what I hate even more, though? I hate seeing these penalties for it. And these guys just getting, you know, sometimes they don't tell you what it's for, but then, you know, once they get in the program, they just can't stop.
Right.
And then it goes from four games to eight games to a year. And then, I mean, it's like, what are we doing for marijuana?
Right.
Really? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, hopefully they get this fixed and corrected because it should be. It should be. It should be classified just like alcohol.
And I like the way that you said, look, like we need to sort of taper some of these, you know, penalties. And, you know, really what the NBA does, like the NBA is so far ahead in so many regards of this stuff. They go, weed's legal. Who gets tested? Like, when's the last time you saw an NBA star have to sit games because he got tested and failed a marijuana test? They basically decriminalize it without going through the whole hoopla of, we're changing our rules, you can smoke weed. No. They just, it's sort of like,
okay,
you're in a 65 and you're going 67, right? It's like, okay, like, we're not going to make a big deal out of it. Now, if you get caught, we get in trouble. If you're, you know, smoking weed behind the wheel of a car, you can't do that. You can't do that in any state. So we'll slap you with a penalty if that's the case, but you know, just think a little bit,
right,
about how you go about your business as a league.
Yeah, but both sides are so stubborn and hard headed. The players and the players union and the owners. So it's always a give and take. Well, you want that rule changed? Okay, we'll change it. But what are you going to give up?
Right,
that's
right.
What it comes down to, and that's. It's a shame. It's a shame. And then you have guys that get caught up in it, and it's like, hate to see guys' careers get unfolded because of marijuana use.
Josh Gordon. He can't stop. Now he's got a real, you know, issue with his self control and stuff, but the ball got rolling there with grass.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something that needs to be addressed. They're talking about it. Hopefully it gets changed and it gets more updated to where we are living and the times that we are living at now.
Yeah.
I like legal weed.
Thank you, Mike Evans.
He might have pulled on something before he chopped down 64 wings.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you haven't seen that video of the King of the Wing, the King of the Wing challenge yesterday, it is on our Facebook page. It's on 1043thefan.com. Stokely and I are commentating it. It's hilarious. You got to see the video. I posted it right to the top of my Twitter account as well. You can follow us on Twitter at bstokely14. I'm at Byzline. It's pretty funny. So if you haven't checked it out, take the time, check it out. A monster game for the Nuggets here tonight. And I say monster, on the surface, it's just a regular season game. But the Nuggets have lost three in a row. They don't look connected. And you're playing a Lakers team that's absolutely reeling. The Lakers have lost five of their last six, seven of their last nine. There's incredible discord within that organization, within that roster. And if they use tonight as a get-right game against the Nuggets, on national TV, ESPN, 8:30 start, you've lost four in a row, and you're looking at Golden State on the road Friday night. You cannot afford five-game losing streaks in the month of March when you're trying to build in the right direction as we're down on the home stretch to the playoffs.
Yeah, you look at their situation, and you look at where the Lakers are, and this is a game that you got to take care of. Lakers are reeling, a bad basketball team right now. The only thing that I'm like a little bit hesitant, it is on the road. The Lakers have had a day off after they lost
the Clippers?
Yeah, their previous game. And you look at a team that's reeling, and it makes me think of the Celtics, of how bad they've been. All of a sudden, they get on a plane, they go cross-country, and they whip up on the Warriors.
Smacked them.
We got things figured out. We finally, you know, and so is that going to be what happened to the Nuggets tonight? Don't let it happen. Start fast.
Don't get down 19 after 12 minutes of basketball. I'll tell you what, and we talked a little bit about this on the Mile High Hoops podcast, which the newest episode came out today. Steven posted a couple hours ago. It's everywhere on our podcast, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iTunes. Look at you.
Stitcher. Love Stitcher.
We talk about this. You look at the standings. There's one team that I just continue to say, you know what? I don't know if I like this matchup. And it's the San Antonio Spurs, who are just a half game removed from the 7th seed. The Nuggets are the 2 seed. That's a real potential matchup.
I'd rather see them than the Jazz.
The problem is, I don't love many of the matchups in the playoffs outside of the one with the Clippers. And I'm not saying that the Nuggets aren't up for the task, but the current temperature of that basketball team, the Spurs have won three in a row. Like, and then you take into account the Nuggets haven't won in San Antonio. Think about this. Make sure you're sitting down. The Nuggets haven't won in San Antonio since the year 2012. You were still playing.
Oh, was I playing?
Think about this. The guys on this roster weren't even in the league, most of them.
It's a long time ago.
13 consecutive losses. And you look at the roster of the Spurs and how much playoff experience that they have. I mean, Aldridge has played in, you know, like 70 playoff games. DeMar DeRozan has played in 50 playoff games. Rudy Gay has been in multiple series. Marco Bellinelli has played in multiple series. Patty Mills, again, major minutes, played in, 60 playoff games.
Deep breath. Don't worry about the Spurs.
I'm not.
Deep breath.
I'm not
deep breath. Worried. Don't worry about the Spurs. Let's just avoid. I'm with you.
I'm just saying.
You're scared. Don't worry
I'm not
about the
scared.
Spurs.
I'm not
don't
scared.
Worry about the Clippers. We need to avoid the Jazz. And I don't want to see the Blazers either. So let's avoid both of those teams. Bring the Spurs on. We'll change that 2012. It'll be 2019. And we'll take care of the Spurs if it's the Spurs. Okay? There you go.
Wow. Crystal ball Stokely.
Yep.
Stokestradamus.
That's it.
He's back.
I'm back, baby.
Stoke, the Rockies win total projection is out. Do the projections have them doing better or worse than a year ago? We'll let you know next. This is the theme of the Mile High Hoops podcast.
There we go. Who is this?
This is
LL Cool J?
Method Man.
Okay.
Method Man. Back in the day. Way back in the day. Rockies win total projection. It's out. Do the projections have them better or worse than a year ago? We're inching closer to the start of baseball season.
It's right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
I can't wait. I'm a guess, Zach. I'm going to say it's...
Well, hold on. Contextual purposes, the Rockies last year finished 91-72, second in the NL. And if my memory serves me correctly, second highest win total in franchise history after 92 wins back in 2009, I believe it was. So give me your guess. On the heels of a 91 win season.
Gotta be under that total. Gotta be. Hello?
Oh, you want? Are you going to give me a prediction? Oh, you want a clue?
You want me to give you the number? You said. I think it's going to be worse than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're looking for better or worse? Okay, yes.
Worse than that.
Worse.
Okay, so now you want me to give you a win total that they project in the Rockies for?
I want your win total.
No, I'm not ready for that yet. That comes out opening day, bro. You know that.
Oh, really?
Yes. That comes out opening day,
a
man.
A month in advance.
Come on now. I haven't put that much thought into it right now. I've been pretty good on those the last couple of years.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been great, actually. Go back and listen.
All right.
Where do they have them projected at the win total? I will say...
Full disclosure before your answer, I had Steven pull multiple outlets. I don't want to just one outlet. So like MLB.com's got three guys who decide. We're not letting them three. We got a handful of them.
So, 80... I'm going between 84 and 85. 85.
Okay. Bleacher Report has the Rockies at 86, finishing second in the NL West again behind LA. MLB.com via Baseball Prospectus has an 85 win team. FanGraphs has an 81 win team. It sounds like
they. What does Vegas have them at? What's the over under in Vegas? Don't they do that? They got to have an over under win total in Vegas. What's that mark at?
Well, I'll get you that in just a second. It sounds like they have the Rockies sort of in the same vein as they were a year ago. Right there in the mix, nipping at the heels of the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they should be. That's absolutely where they should be. They stay healthy, things go their way. They could win the division. What?
I have the Vegas odds.
Mm-hmm. You're smiling.
You're good. You're good.
Is it 85?
Nope.
84?
No. 84 to hook.
Wow.
You're right in the middle of the actual number that they put out.
They put out 84 and a half.
Yep. It looks like every single team in baseball, they put a hook on the end of it.
Oh, okay. So there's no ties.
So it's you're right there.
Okay.
You're right there. And I'm taking this from Sports Illustrated from February 17th. Very recently.
It should be a fun baseball season. How does this bullpen hold up? I think that's the biggest question mark coming into the season is the bullpen. Can it hold up? Wade Davis has to be special again, but these other guys have got to step up, the guys that they paid.
Brian Shaw.
The year before. Yeah, Brian Shaw, I mean, can't have another year like last year.
Jake McGee.
Yep.
Like, hey, step up. It's step up season.
Oberg, right? Hopefully he can take over some of the slack from Ottavino. But certainly you look at the bats and what they could be.
Now that's an exciting proposition.
This could be a dynamic, dynamic lineup. We need a bounce back from Ian Desmond. And I'm actually thinking he's going to do that, you know, because he steadied the course there at the end of the season.
He did.
And... got it going back in the right direction. But you look at David Dahl, Story, Arenado, first base. Who we got? Daniel
Murphy.
Murphy, the outfield. Charlie and
I mean, dude, that lineup offensively.
I mean, they
is real. That lineup is real.
I'm interested to see Ryan McMahon, see how he looks this year.
Sure.
And, I mean, look, you got the capabilities offensively to put up some runs. I'm still hurt.
Hurt?
From last year, the way it ended.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Zach, you know what I wanted to do last year. I wanted to go to a playoff game. I told you I'm going to one of these games. And I went, and it was cold, and they could not hit the baseball. It hurt me. It hurt. That's my last memory. So hopefully we can get back in the playoffs again and I can see a different product. But the bats just disappeared at the end of the year. I mean, they just
it was
like
painful.
Oh,
painful.
You know, through the end of the regular season and into the playoffs, it just disappeared. But it's a fun baseball team. I can't wait for the season. It's going to be exciting.
Did you check out those ticket prices for opening day that your wife wanted you to grab?
Not yet. I think I might be in denial. I don't know. You said you got some buddies coming in. Are y'all going to stay down at Blake Street and watch it on TV?
Well, hopefully. No. Well,
that's what I'm asking.
Hopefully, we're on the air. The opening day starts at 2:05. Already saw it. Dodgers Friday, April 5th.
Oh, that's...
And...
Then what happens? We're going to miss?
It's going to start at really like 2:15.
That's not how it works. It starts on time.
It's opening day.
It's opening day.
The flyover or something.
Yeah, it's going to start at 2:15. No, it's not how it works.
We're going to get in there in the second inning.
Okay.
Like we always do anyway. And we're going to rip it up.
Yeah, I might just have to give the wife and my son tickets, and I might just not be able to go. Sometimes you take one for the team.
Really quick, happy birthday to my best buddy, Dan.
Happy birthday,
Dan. Turning 32 today. He's been my best friend since I was in middle school. Love you, buddy. Happy birthday.
You got a birthday coming up, too, Sunday.
Sunday.
Hell yeah! Yeah.
I'm going to take a Roby week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
It's that time of day. Stokely stoked up, and we're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Nuggets back in action in a primetime game playing the L.A. Lakers, a team that's reeling. Now, we've lost three in a row and play the Warriors next on the road. We don't want to get into a long losing streak in this time of year. This is a game that you know. You know it, Zach. Going into, you're going to get the Lakers' absolute best. You better be ready to go from the opening tip-off. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you talk about starting fast. That was probably the most I don't know if alarming or concerning thing in the last three games, three consecutive losses to the Jazz, Pelicans, and Spurs. The worst loss of the three is to the Pelicans at home without Anthony Davis with a 19-point lead. I mean, that was a bad loss. But I'll say this, the first quarter against the Spurs, you had lost two consecutive games, Stoke, so you think the sense of urgency would be high. You don't want to have a three-game losing streak at any time, but especially in March, on the backstretch of the season. And they came out and got outscored by 19 points in the first 12 minutes. And Mike Malone called them selfish after the game. That was weird, because the Nuggets have been the anti-selfish team. They've been the anti-NBA.
That's what I want to ask you. I mean, what's going on here as of late?
It's hard to put my finger on it, and I think it's unfair to boil it down to just Isaiah. Like, hey, this is the new denominator that's been mixed in, therefore it's Isaiah.
Well, that's kind of what, is the outlier.
Right, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, Isaiah wasn't on the floor when they got outscored by 19 points in the first 12 minutes. I mean, maybe the last 2 minutes of the first quarter. But so I think that's too easy. I think that's the low-hanging fruit here. Now, it's an issue. It's an issue. It's an issue that, he took more shots than three of the five starters against the Spurs and doesn't seem to be in a rhythm. He's just missing something.
How do you address that? That's the the thing that Mike Malone, like right now, this time of year, you don't want to have something come into your tight-knit group and all of a sudden you're taking a step backwards, right? I mean, you have been a great basketball team all year long, and then all of a sudden you add this new piece, and it's just not the same. And that's what we were worried about. And now you're kind of seeing it a little bit, and the team doesn't look the same.
It's an issue. And Earl was saying on the Mile High Hoops podcast earlier today, he was saying, look, you don't want any drastic changes this time of year. And I'm going, well, you just had one. Do you double down on the drastic change and remove him from the mix? You remove that strong personality down the stretch? It's an issue, and this is why Mike Malone gets paid the big bucks. This is the biggest challenge of his career. And Earl said something in particular. He goes, you know, I can't remember the last time a team was as good as the Nuggets were, and a lot of the guys at this time of year didn't know their roles. You got IT in the mix. Now, what's Monty Morris's role? What's Gary Harris trying to return to form, coming back from injury, trying to figure it out? Trey Lyles is about to come back. There's a lot of moving parts with this thing. So,
and he's a veteran presence that has played at a high level, and so some of these guys will probably defer to him a little bit. And if he's not playing, like, at that high level anymore, now what is your team going to do? It's going to take a step back.
What do you do?
I mean, you start losing games is what happens. But as a coach with that type of personality and that type of presence, it is a tricky, tricky situation, not only on the court but in the locker room. And they've all been, it looks like to me, when you watch them, they are a tight-knit group, right? The guys on the bench, I mean, everybody is into it, and they're all about winning. But now you add this piece, and it's a, like you said, it's an outgoing personality in Isaiah Thomas. That's a really tricky situation.
It is. It is. So this is what makes tonight's game on national TV against LeBron and the Lakers that much more interesting. Got to figure it out. All right, I got to pass this along. 5 minutes ago, Darian Stewart posted on his Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram at
zby23. There you go. Get that in there.
I do stuff behind the scenes once in a while. Yesterday, did all the behind the scenes stuff with our King of the Wing. Try to do that more and more. So hit me up. But Darian Stewart says, Broncos country. Thank you for all the love you showed me and my family these past 4 years. But it's time for me to move on, and I'm looking forward to the next chapter. I still got a whole lot of football left in me, so I'll see y'all real soon. We were just talking about this an hour ago.
Yeah.
That what is about to happen with Darian Stewart. And do you need to make the move before Monday? Free up that money. You know, we speculated at one point, could this go a TJ Ward route where you bring him in and take a look at him? And then if you don't like what you see, you can cut him in camp or close to it. And you astutely pointed out there's a real risk with that, because if he gets hurt, you're on the hook. And it sounds like
you need the money also right now.
And you need the money
you
right
need
now.
That $6 right. million that he was going to take up against a cap. You need that freed up.
It sounds like the Broncos have communicated to him that the run is over.
Yeah. And it was a great run. You know, you signed him, and he was one of those second-tier, third-tier free agents. You signed him on a couple-year deal, and he came in here and played awesome and was rewarded with a new contract, a well-deserved new contract, and was one of the main pieces in one of the greatest defenses in the history of the NFL.
Right.
So how can you not love Darian Stewart and what he was able to bring here and do here? He's a guy that you just pull for and you root for. He does things the right way. And like he's worked himself into the contract that he got, into where he is at when you look at being a part of that special run that they had to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it was a great run here. It was. And it was a great time. But now it's just time for the Broncos to turn the page. And the especially when you look at the safety market, you're going to be able to get a good player for a cheaper than what you're going to be paying Darian Stewart.
He's another one of these guys that no NFL team had plans for him. He was nobody's plan when he was coming out of South Carolina. Every round of the draft came and went. And he is one of these guys, like so many other Broncos, just like another Bronco in the same secondary, Chris Harris Jr. Like so many other Broncos that came before him, he pried his way into the NFL and became a Pro Bowler after the 2016 season. What will you remember about Darian Stewart and his time with the Broncos?
Earned everything that he got, worked for it. Hard nose, hard hitting safety. Him and TJ Ward, what a presence they were in the back end. And look, they helped lead this team to the Super Bowl. They were a part of the no fly zone.
Right.
I mean, that's a no fly zone right there. So just greatness. I mean, really, it was a special time here in Denver, that run, and he was a part of it, obviously, and just a good guy. Never any issues from him. You never heard any complaining or anything from him. He was just all about ball and football and team. But he was a presence in the back end. You knew where Darian Stewart was. So, you know, that's the NFL. The price point, and you need to free up that money. You got other things that you need to do with it. Will they look to go get a safety in free agency? Will they just turn this thing over to Will Parks and, you know,
that's a good question.
Suwa Cravens, you know, is he a part of their plans this offseason? Will they continue to take a look at him?
I want to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow.
Perfect. Perfect. So you have options here, and then you'll have options in free agency. You'll have options in free agency, obviously. There's a lot of safeties out there that will be available. Landon Collins, Earl Thomas, Honey Badger, Eric Weddle. Mm. And the list goes on and on.
Adrian Amos.
Adrian Amos from
Chicago.
The Bears.
Yeah.
You know.
Ha ha Clinton Dix.
Ha ha.
Ha!
Ha ha!
Did you say LaMarcus Joyner?
Did not say LaMarcus Joyner.
I mean, there are a handful of safeties out there. Mark Barron, Clayton Gathers.
Who? Well, we're not naming, we're trying to name the top tier guys.
All right.
Not naming all of them.
He was pretty good.
Okay. Where's Clayton?
Had a solid year.
Okay. What team?
The Colts.
Okay. You know, you might get a guy like that had a good year that I've never heard of, and you might get him at a good price, a young guy, and he might be the next Darian Stewart. You didn't pay Darian Stewart anything the first time he came here.
No.
When you signed him. So that might be where they're looking. Just get a guy that's played in the NFL for 4 years, young guy still in his prime that you'll be able to get at the right price and a cheap price.
And you referenced that cheap price that you got Darian Stewart for back in 2015. He signed Darian Stewart to a 2-year, $4.25 million contract.
Those kind of deals. That's what the Broncos are looking for. They're looking for, this year, they're going to be looking for the Emmanuel Sanders and the Darian Stewart contracts. Emmanuel Sanders came here on a 3-year, I believe, $9 or $12 million deal. Darian Stewart, a 2-year, $4 million deal, right? Those are the deal. These are the deals you're going to have to make and find these guys. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, what a steal.
I opened up my browser last night and uh-oh. Was looking at your... What do you mean, uh-oh?
Oh, I don't know. Did I say that?
I cleared that history.
Oh. And my wife was looking over, oh, that's what I thought you were going with it.
Daniel Jeremiah, your boy, this guy.
I didn't know where you were going with it. It just seemed like, you know, you're...
Daniel Jeremiah, your guy... put out his second mock draft, and I just sort of shook my head. I just shook my head.
You did?
Because we were having a conversation
SMH?
Yesterday. SMH.
Mm.
We were having a conversation yesterday, and you said, you want to know what? John Elway could very well draft a left tackle at 10 overall. And I'm just like... So we're tapping out on Garrett Bowles. Is that what we're doing? We're tapping on Garrett Bowles? I just can't see that happening. I can't see that happening. You had your pick of the litter. in 2017, first time in modern draft that a tackle offensively wasn't picked in the first half of the draft. So there we were at 20. We had the whole crop of guys staring at us, and we picked Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles was not good his first year.
Bowles country.
Bowles country. Hashtag. He got a little bit better his second year. I think we agree with that. A little bit better. Still left to be something left to be desired.
If we could take that clothesline to the back of the head out of his game, I think we'll be having something.
Right. Yeah. The King Kong Bundy splash?
Yeah.
It doesn't count as like it does in the squared circle.
Right. If Mike Munchak can do that, if he could just accomplish that where we don't see the left arm grab and then the right arm come to the back of the helmet, and then the splash on top, and then to top it all off, Zach, to top it all off, like when they throw the flag, he looks at the ref like just dumbfounded, like, right. What did I do?
Well, that's what the wrestler does after he accuses him of hitting him with a chair. He's like, no, it wasn't me.
Well, but this is real. This is football.
Wrestling's real.
You can't throw somebody down and jump on top of them and then right. not expect to get a holding call. That to me trumps everything else. Like, he's confused. He doesn't even get that dude, you can't do those things. That's holding all day, every day. And he looks at the ref like, I didn't do anything. Like, what? You just clotheslined the guy and jumped on top of him and jumped on his back and, like, slammed him to the ground. That is holding.
You can't splash people.
No.
That's why you suck.
King Kong Bundy used to splash people. And I should have said this yesterday. He passed away in the past 48 hours. He'd splash them. He'd get the three count, and he'd look at the ref and say, more. And the ref would count to five. It's the only wrestler I ever saw do that. I know I won. Give me a five count, because this dude's toast.
Done.
That's what Bowles does. But I shake my head because if we go back into the NFL draft and we take a left tackle at 10, what an absurd admission that you had your entire crop and you got it wrong. We got it wrong again. We got our first rounder wrong again. Right there with the Paxton Lynches, the Bradley Robies, who we're going to let walk here in a second. Right there with... who else? What other first rounders have been?
Shane Ray.
Yeah, Shane Ray. We're about.
You took Bradley Chubb this year. So, you know, how does that work out? It worked out pretty well for you.
Terrific.
Right?
Terrific.
So, just as long as I think, you know, we agree on this. Like, what's the best way when you are realizing you made a mistake? What's the best thing to do?
Just admit it.
Admit it and move on from it. Don't just keep hanging out and hanging on hope. Like Paxton Lynch, he was going to come back last year. I mean, they were just fooling themselves. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but...
Well, this is his third year. This is Bowles Paxton year.
Right. Well, they're not going to cut him. They're not cutting him.
No, okay. I got that.
But at the same time, if you don't think he's your future left tackle, the best thing to do is admit it right now, move on, especially if you have the opportunity at 10 to take your left tackle and you love this guy. That's fine. Bowles, we'll put you at right tackle. And that's fine. But don't just keep hanging out, hanging on hope that, you know, this guy's going to be something different than what he is. Admit it. Move on from it. Throw him to the right side. And now you got the left side figured out. And hopefully he's a better right tackle than he is left tackle. Now, I think Bowles will play better at the left tackle spot this year. And I don't think they have to do that. But at the same time, obviously, you know, they have a better knowledge of who Garrett Bowles will be moving forward. And Mike Munchak probably has a good feeling on that, whether he thinks he can coach him up and play at a higher level. And certainly I think he can. And I think for a coach and from a coach's perspective, that's a challenge that you love. Give me that first-round pick that has struggled a little bit but does have the athletic ability and the talent to be a really good player. I'll get the most out of that guy. So
that's what I'm hoping their mindset is. Because although we get frustrated with Garrett, I've called him Garrett Holds. We have fun with it. The wrestling references, the legendary.
Just I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust
that the legendary piece of audio.
The legendary interview that we did with
that was
from our interview.
That was at our question. The piece of sound that will just live in infamy.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
Like, we have a lot of fun.
You can't make that up.
No.
One more time.
I put all my arms and legs into and let him trust.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Anyway, stop on Case Keenum if you remember.
Right, yeah. I don't remember because when he said it, I was just like in shock. And I think we do have it on video. I think my Johnny Love might have been videoing it.
We do.
And I want to see that video again because if you look at my face, you'll see. I was like, what is going on here? But like Garrett Bowles it seems like he's a good teammate. He does seem like he works hard from the outside.
Yes, yep.
I mean, he's always looking like he's working on his craft. So,
and he's about to be paired with this coach that has as sterling of a reputation as any positional coach in the NFL. I'm asking to just see 1 year what it looks like. What does it look like after 1 year of Mike Munchak? Because we have so many needs of this football team. We talked about this ad nauseum. We have so many needs that if we can address one of them in-house through an upgrade of coaching and not go ahead and take, you know, Andre Dillard out of Washington State at number 10 to play left tackle for us. Now, look, if it works out and you draft this kid from Washington State, and he's our franchise left tackle, it has to.
Just like Bradley Chubb had to.
It had to, right? And this is what we're talking about at 10. It has to be the, and I know some people get mad at me, but it's got to be the perfect combination of where the floor is already at, that it's not going to be a swing and miss where we're talking about replacing the guy in 2 years in the first round again. You know, and I know you shouldn't draft based on just off floor, but at the same time, boy, the prospect of getting this wrong at the same position that you just drafted it in 2017 in the first round, it's scary.
Yeah, and this is ultimately why when we talked about it yesterday, I said I don't think they're going to take a tackle. I don't think they're going to take one of these offensive linemen at 10. I think ultimately they won't take a lineman at 10 because of the Mike Munchak, Garrett Bowles effect. We'll get a better Garrett Bowles. We got other holes to fill. TJ Hockenson's there. We're going to take him. Devin White's there. We're going to take him. Greedy Williams available. We're going to take him. Like, I really don't care if Greedy Williams tackles or not. Okay? Go cover somebody.
No, you don't care. You don't care if he tackles.
Look, he's
in tackle football?
Two-hand touch him. Just hold him up and let somebody else come tackle him. But everybody's making a big deal about, like, oh, Greedy Williams doesn't tackle. You know, Vic Fangio wants his okay, I got it. You want your guys to tackle, right? And obviously, if he doesn't want anything to do with it, you better be Deion Sanders.
Mm.
Now, if you're Deion Sanders, fine, perfect.
Sure.
Go cover the guy.
Yeah.
Right? And every now and then, Deion threw his head in there and made tackles. And so just as long as you can get that out of Greedy, I don't want you to be a big part of making a lot of tackles to begin with. Go cover. Don't let that ball go over your head against the New York Jets like Roby did a couple times. Okay, go do that first and foremost.
Don't let Robbie Anderson use you like he would a workout cone.
Exactly.
Can I just say one more thing about this? If you are going to draft...
Your show, do what you want.
If you're going to draft a left tackle at 10, Mike Munchak picks him.
Oh!
How much movement has there been in that front office? Not a whole lot. So whoever drafted Bowles, you don't get to pick our next guy.
Oh!
Can't do it.
Say, Mike, if Mike Munchak is staring John Elway in the face with conviction and says, Andre Dillard is a franchise 10-year left tackle, if you get me him, tell you what, your left side's taken care of for two more presidential campaigns.
Oh.
Then I'm in.
Okay.
But if it's the same cast of characters that said Garrett Bowles was the truth, I'm tapping out.
Okay. I think that's part of it. I think, you know, John has to trust Mike and his judgment and his how long he's coached at such a high level that would be a guy that John trusts and will rely on when it comes to the offensive line. Like, hey, you're evaluating, you know, these five or six guys for me. Give me your report on them. And that's what assistant coaches do anyway. But certainly in this situation, you're going to lean more on Mike Munchak than you will with any of these other offensive assistant coaches, especially when it comes to if the possibility of drafting one of these guys at 10. Hey, you're going to look at this guy from Washington State, you're going to look at this guy from Alabama, and you're going to look at this guy from Florida, and you're going to let me know. Do you think any of them have a chance to be a future 10-year left tackle where I don't have to worry about this conversation in 2 years like I just am doing right now because we screwed up this Bowles pick?
We'll leave it there for now. DMAC and our guy, Chad Brown, coming in to entertain you for the next 3 hours.
Should be awesome. Can't wait.
The Drive's coming up next.